The words of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly.
Well, we're not used to pausing on the story right at that moment, are we? It's a little weird, right? Well, we're going to do that today. A couple of weeks ago, a reference group for our upcoming visioning or renewal process met with Betty Priest, who's going to be our facilitator. And they met to help set the stage for our upcoming workshops on January 24 and 25 and March 13 and 14. This reference group, in case you're wondering, is one really important part of the overall renewal process that all of us are invited to participate in. Within the overall process, the reference group will listen closely to what all of us say, and then they'll bring back to us what they think they've heard and what they're hearing. I mean, no pressure, reference group, but it's a big job, right? And so I'm glad to say that it's in good hands. Based on some discernment from the leadership team, conversations and prayers with some of you, and a little more discernment with the senior Bible study, the reference group that's been called together is made up of myself, Twyla Lehman, Brett Thiessen, Phil Rempel, Hannah Ebbs, and Mary Lichty. So please join me in holding those people in prayer for the next 6 months or so. I think we're very fortunate to have them doing this heavy lifting on our behalf. Now, our first meeting together was mostly an orientation. We were figuring out how this is going to work, having Betty explain it to us. And in the middle of that, there was a moment that has really stuck with me. We were talking about how the process will work, and Brett did this thing that he's done a couple of times since I've been here, where he just spontaneously comes up with an analogy, and I think secretly inside, now that would be a good sermon analogy. And so guess what? Here, courtesy of Brett, is today's sermon analogy. Brett, I didn't get your permission for this, so I hope this is okay. You're probably scanning through trying to figure out what you said at that meeting, right? You think you know what's coming? Okay. Well, here's what I remember you saying. Summarizing what we were coming to understand would be the process for the renewal, Brett said something like this. It's like the whole thing is a road trip. You know, as opposed to a trip where you just have a destination in mind the whole time. When you take those trips, those destination-oriented trips, you've already decided exactly where you're going to end up, and all you care about is getting there as quickly as possible. Spend all your time working on efficiency for getting from point A to point B. But when you take a road trip, you don't just go in a straight line. You take detours. You stop to enjoy things along the way. Rather than just trying to get efficiently from one place to the next, you embrace the journey and see what you might learn along the way. I know that's some of my words in there. Does that sound about right, Brett? Okay, good. Brett's analogy has stuck with me because it's just a good analogy for a lot of things. But it's especially stuck with me because it's a good analogy for Advent. In fact, it's a particularly good analogy for an Advent that is leading us collectively into a renewal process in January. But for now, I want to continue with the very personal side of all of this at Advent, like we did last Sunday. So we'll save the connections in this to us as a whole church family for a future Sunday or two in this series. For now, I just want to point out that it's like this. This Advent, we've begun by talking about what it feels like when we've been sure we're streaming up God's mountain, only to end up at a dead end. And we've already observed that this is something we can easily imagine Mary feeling when she got the news that she was pregnant. And today, we've just heard, and it's easy to imagine that this is how Joseph felt too, when he got the news that Mary was pregnant. And in the midst of all that for Mary and Joseph and us, I want to point to a question hovering just above it all. Is it possible that when we hit a dead end, God might be inviting us to move from a destination mentality to a road trip mentality? You know that thing? My slides may not be working, but we'll be okay. You know that thing where you've entered your destination into Google Maps, there we go, and you're streaming towards your destination. I mean, you're so confident that Google has got this for you that you're barely even paying attention to where you go. You're just streaming towards your destination with Google as your guide, and then you hit a dead end, and neither you nor Google saw it coming, right? And then, unless you're just going to sit there staring at the dead end for the rest of your life, whatever you do next is going to cause Google to say, in its very monotone but still kind of passive-aggressive way, recalculating. Whatever you do next, if you do anything, that's what's going to happen. Today, and don't worry about the screen right now, I think they're getting some things sorted out for later. Today we're going to take a closer look at that as an analogy for the dead ends we're staring at in each of our lives. We're going to explore what it means to let Google go ahead and say, recalculating, and what it might mean to even turn off our metaphorical inner Google Maps, and instead to just head out on a road trip with Jesus, the greatest new beginning of all time. So, last week, I told you a little bit about what hits me when I read Isaiah 2. Remember, it's the one about how God's people will someday stream up God's mountain. And I told you about that time in my life when I thought that my life too was streaming up God's mountain, when I had my dream job at my dream school with a future mapped out for myself, only to suddenly, shockingly realize I had crashed into what seemed like a dead end. And so when we hear today's text from Isaiah, you'd think, as it starts, that I would be about to receive some consolation from this text, right? Comfort, comfort, O my people, it begins. Great start. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term. Now we're talking, right? Comfort is coming. But then, there's this. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain shall be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. Now, when you hear a verse like this from the Bible when you're feeling low, when you're standing in front of a brick wall that says dead end, do you feel a little like I do? Which is to say, do you feel a little like this comfort doesn't feel comforting after all? Like you come to the Bible with your deepest pain, and the Bible just says back to you, for sure, I'm here to comfort you. Here's my words of comfort. Are you facing an endless desert in front of you? Well, just, you know, go ahead and build a highway through it. Are you facing a valley that you can't find your way across? Well, then, you know, just lift that valley up so that it's flat. Is there a mountain in your path that you can't get over? Well, come on, just flatten it. Hey there, lazy bones. Seems to say a desert and a valley and a mountain aren't dead ends. They're just an opportunity to do a little geographical redecorating, right? Now get on it, it seems to say. Oh, and by the way, you're welcome for all this comfort I'm giving you, right? Do you ever feel a little like that when you read the Bible and even some of its so-called comfort passages when you're at a dead end? I know that I certainly have sometimes. Thinking back on the experience I shared last week, I often think, why didn't I just do this or that? Why didn't I just say this instead of that? Why didn't I just try harder? If only I had, and you can fill in the blank with probably dozens of things for yourself. Sitting, staring at your dead end, do you think like that sometimes too? If you found yourself at a dead end in a super important relationship in your life, do you find yourself thinking like that? If you found yourself at a dead end in a vocation or a career, do you find yourself thinking like that? If you found age, disability, or prejudice has robbed you of a gift or an ability that you love to share, do you find yourself thinking like that? If you're struggling with your place, even in this church, or with your faith in God itself, do you find yourself thinking like that? Asking yourself, why didn't I just do this? Why didn't I just say that? Maybe if I just worked harder at it, this wouldn't have happened to me. Maybe if I just work harder and have more faith, I could move this mountain in front of me. Maybe, in other words, maybe it's my fault for not working hard enough. Does the Bible's seeming words of comfort sometimes leave you feeling convicted like that too? Well, friends, I'm glad to be able to tell you that if that's how we're reading the Bible when we're at a dead end in our life, we might not be reading it right. Yes, there is a time and a place for God to challenge us to shape up and use some elbow grease. In fact, the Gospels later, as we talked about in Sunday school, repurpose this very passage to give it that kind of spin regarding John the Baptist. But in the original context, in this original context, God is not speaking those words to us. God is speaking with God's court, God's government, and God's prophet Isaiah, and they are discussing how God will come to us because we're in such desperate need of comfort. Perhaps we misread this passage because of the way that the Gospels later use it, but I think we will also misread it because we're predisposed to destination mentalities. We're in such a rush to figure out where we have to go and how we can get there as quickly as possible that we treat our faith that way too. We decide that we know precisely where God is leading us, and then we figure out what would be the most direct route. And then if we run into deserts or mountains or valleys, dead ends along the way, we automatically assume that it must be our fault that we can't get to our destination quickly enough the way we assume God wants us to get there. And when, from our deepest hurts, we read a verse like this with a destination mentality, with the pressure on ourselves to get the destination, as get there as quickly as possible, even the Bible's comfort can sometimes feel like it hurts. But in Isaiah 40, in the context of offering comfort to the afflicted, we should actually notice that this is all about what God and God's heavenly court and prophets can bring to us. That they are bringing God to us, telling us, is there a desert between you and God right now? An impenetrable valley? An unscalable mountain? A dead end at the end of your maps as you understand them? Well, God's going to break through all of that. And by the way, while doing so, God's going to reorient the lay of the land as you know it, and God will be your new guide. Not that map that you left off at this dead end. God, friends, is going to find us at our dead ends, and God is going to take us on God's road trip. It's a message that we find Joseph in need of hearing at this moment in the Advent story that we chose to stop at today, isn't it? The Bible just gives us those couple verses about it, the ones Teresa read for you. But once again, through the holy imagination and sacred playfulness of Ted Swartz, Lee Eshelman, and Ingrid De Sanctis, we're invited to pause on those verses, not rush over them to get to the happy parts, but pause on those short but important verses to find them, shall we say, pregnant with meaning? As Ted and Lee might say, yeah. I think I actually stole that joke from this clip. And so I'm here, I think, if we have it ready. Have we got it sorted out back there? Okay, we're about to find out. Here's just a little of how they imagine this part of the story. Bear with any technical difficulties.
You are such a beautiful man. You know, one of the things that attracted me to you is I always thought to myself, now, Joseph is just an understanding person. I thought to myself, Joseph will make a wonderful father.
You know, I always thought I could be, Mary. Yeah, come on.
I'm feeling so good about us.
Only 67 days away, Mary.
I know, and I can't wait.
You and me, Mary.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Joseph, marriage is going to be tough. There are going to be a lot of obstacles ahead, Joseph, and sometimes you feel like you're being kicked right from inside. You know, you won't have everything you want, you won't have everything you need, you won't have enough ice cream, you won't have enough pickles, you just won't have enough, Joseph. But you push and you breathe, and you push and you breathe, and you push and you breathe, and it all comes out and you just don't know what you have! I love you, Joseph.
Extraordinary love.
I'm pregnant.
What?
I'm going to have a baby.
Thank you and good night. Oh, this is a joke. Oh, Mary, that's not funny.
No.
And that's not fair.
No. I'm not joking. I really am pregnant.
Mary, you're not telling me this. I'm a beautiful man, and we're getting married in 67 days.
I know, and I can't wait.
You can't be pregnant, Mary. I mean, I ought to know, right? Yeah, in order for you to be pregnant, that means we would have had to have been. And boy, I know that I never.
Joseph. Neither have I. You need to know that I have been faithful to you.
Mary, look. If this is a mama frog, yeah, and this is a tadpole, there's got to be a bullfrog.
There was no bullfrog.
No, there has to be a bullfrog.
Are we ready to order? I am guessing no.
Mary, this isn't like laughing at someone else's jokes or winking at someone else. This is more than that. I mean, this is a lot more than that. Mary, we said we would wait. We made a promise to wait.
I have, if you will just listen to my side of it.
What did you tell your folks, anyway?
Well, I didn't tell them yet. I was thinking, well, that was something we could do, you know, together.
Oh, you want me to stand next to a pregnant you and face your father?
He won't blame you.
Why not? Who else has he got to blame?
Joseph, if you will just listen to me, okay? All right. There was this angel.
The guy.
No. Oh. It was an angel, and he came to me, and he said that I was going to have a baby, and that we were supposed to name him Jesus and raise him as our own.
Mary, you have broken something precious here today.
Joseph, we...
Are we ready now? What may I bring you?
You know, I don't think we're going to have dinner.
I've completely lost my appetite.
Very well. I will bring you the check. For the crackers, I suppose.
Joseph, we need to talk about this. We're getting married in 67 days. I have my wedding dress.
How can there be a wedding now, Mary?
We have a luncheon with the bridesmaids and the groomsmen on Friday.
I don't think I'm going to be there.
Joseph, if you cannot deal with this pregnancy, how are you going to handle the really tough things?
Oh, yeah, that's funny, Mary. That's really funny.
Joseph, where are you going?
I don't know. Out. Maybe I'll bump into an angel.
Hey, it's an old favorite now, the bullfrog song.
All right. Thanks, Anita. At the place we find ourselves at in the Christmas story today, we find Joseph. Even though he hasn't hit the road for Bethlehem yet, we find him facing a dead end that we happen to be able to know is actually an invitation to join God on a holy road trip. We know that he's going to choose to take it. Let's get to him here. There he is. But it had to have been a legitimate question for him, right? When the route he was expecting to take hits a dead end, will he take the risk of following God on a road trip? It's a legitimate question for us too. Will we? Will you? As you stare at the dead end in front of you, I don't want to cheapen how dead that end might feel today. I don't want to blithely say, just toss away your hurts and go on an adventure instead. I definitely don't want you to hear me saying, just work harder to turn this into something. All I want to try to do is echo God's story, which says comfort. God is coming for you. Because when we hit a dead end, we might think it's all over. But sometimes that's exactly where and when God meets us, inviting us on a journey we didn't expect, can no longer predict, a journey that transcends our best laid plans and expected destinations, a journey that takes us in directions that we never thought were part of it. When it comes to following God, a dead end may only mean we've hit a wall that exists on a route that we assumed we needed to take. But if we're at that dead end, and even when its pain is very real and very fair and very necessary to deal with, there's also this. Our God would cross a desert. Our God would fill a valley. Our God would level a mountain. Our God would come down to earth as a weak and tiny, vulnerable baby. Just to peek around that wall and say, follow me. I've got another way. I've always got another way. It may mean that the next leg of your journey looks nothing like what you expected. It may mean letting go of something that you are holding on to very tightly. It may mean embracing something that you never, ever thought of embracing. It may mean that you'll have to put your carefully highlighted map in the glove compartment or turn off your inner Google map. But when we recalculate for a road trip with Jesus, we can know with confidence that we choose as our guide the one true comforter and the greatest new beginning of all time.